you're going to say, say it, and then say what you've said. When you're talking to people, say what you're going to say it, and then say what you've said. And this morning, I was reminded that when Kenneth E. Hagin used to tell us this, he'd say, you know, faith is like the point of a mountain. And there's different ways to get up that point of a mountain. There's different ways you can climb up to a mountain. And if faith is at that pinnacle, there's different ways to get up there. And so I want to take an angle this morning talking about faith, and we're going to be talking about Jesus in the boat with his disciples going to the other side. Say, going to the other side.
Going to the other side.
I believe that Jesus wants us to go over to the other side. I believe there's a point on the other side that he wants us to go to. I believe there's a mark that all of us can go to and head towards. But we've got to realize that there's going to be storms between you getting to that mark. The story of the disciples in the boat and the storm arising tells us that there's going to be distractions in between you and the point or the mark where Jesus wants you to go. In fact, I believe when Jesus said, let us go to the other side, I can interject this, but you know how people are. If you say, we're going over there, I believe he pointed and said, we're going over there to the other side so that they could see. Maybe there is a jetty, maybe an inlet, maybe some stones that are over here on the shore that they could make a fire and cook some fish. I don't know, but he made a mark. He said, that's where we're going to go. Let us go over to the other side. And then, of course, what did he do? What did Jesus do?
He slept.
He went on the hinder of the ship, and he had a pillow. He brought a pillow with him. There wasn't a pillow on the boat. He brought it, so he knew he was going to sleep. He had planned. Oh, I love naps, don't you? Some people can't take naps. I learned how to take naps in college. I can take what's called a power nap. Because in between exams, in between classes, you got to learn how to take a power nap. What does that mean? It means you go to sleep and powerfully. You go to sleep powerfully, and then you wake up refreshed, right? To take that test. But we're not taking a test this morning, but maybe some of you are in the middle of a storm in your life. And don't be discouraged. Jesus is in your boat.
Amen.
And listen, faith rests. Faith rests. We're going to climb up this mountain and show you how it's so important for us to have a vision, have a mark where we're going, and realize that Jesus is in our boat. In fact, he's living in you. You brought him in with you. Did you know? He's living on the inside of you. Right? Jesus is in our boat. He's with us. But you know what? He, in this story, it says that he rose up and calmed the storms. They tried to stir him and arise him out of his sleep. Have you ever been quickly arisen out of sleep before by something? I don't know about you, but I'm not in a good mood when that happens. I can be kind of cantankerous when I'm all of a sudden arose out of a real nice nap. But Jesus wasn't cantankerous. He just got up and said, well, I'm going to do what I taught you to do. And since you didn't do it, I'll do it. But I want to teach you this. He was saying, I'll teach you this. And he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the storm, and it was calm. He spoke to the storm, it was calm. I don't know if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee or in Israel, but it's very common for storms just to arise real quickly. Sometimes storms arise very quickly. You're in the Word in the morning, and you're just on fire for the Lord. You can see the glory of God. You're just walking on air. You smell the roses, the birds are chirping, and then you walk outside. Or you get a phone call, or somebody comes to mind, and all of a sudden there's a storm. Storms arise, right? But Jesus wanted them to keep their eye on the shore. Keep your eye on the shore. I remember one time we were driving back from Pennsylvania in a vehicle. We were in a vehicle, and all of a sudden the air conditioning went on while we were driving. And so as a result, the fog that came in that car was very bad. And if you're on the highway, you need to see in front of you. And so we were going on the highway, and we were constantly doing this, looking out the window like a dog, you know, constantly trying to clear that fog so we could see where we're going. You got to know where you're going and see where you're going. You've got to have a mark where you're going to. When I was standing here this morning, and I'm doing this more often, I'll stand here and I'll close my eyes, but I'm somewhere else. I'm in our new building.
That's right. Yes.
I'm in a new building, and I'm in my mental eyes, my sight, my vision. I can look around. I can see a balcony way up there.
That's
I can
right.
see people. I can see stairwells and balconies and people and the praise and worship and a huge stage where we have a lot of room for instruments, a lot of room for good sound equipment, and the sound guy is right in the back where they should be, right in the back where you can see, you know, like a big church. It's okay to believe for a bigger church. It's okay to believe for bigger and better things. And a storm right now in my life, I'm still dealing with, you know, some pain in my leg, and they've given it a name. But you know what? I see beyond that. I see myself, I'm standing there, I see myself, I'm the healed of the Lord. I see myself pain free. You got to have a vision. You got to see through what you're going through.
Yes.
See through the storm to the other side.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." It says in Luke 8:22, "It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth." And that word launched in the Greek, it means to sail away. They launched forth. So we know, and you know about sailboats, and that they had to set the sails. They had to do something, set the sails. And we've learned in here, some of you know very well, that your udder is your rudder. What you say will determine how far you go, and what God does in your life. What you say and agree with His word will determine how far you go out and set sail, right? While others are in the harbor with barnacles on their boats, you can set sail and be out there where Jesus is. He's out in the deep. Amen? He's out in the deep. I often refer to this in the Old Testament in Numbers because it shows us, I talk about this a lot, when they went up into the mountain to see Canaan, which was the promised land. Canaan was the promised land. But in a real sense, we have to understand that in Cana, there's all that they needed, and God had already given them the land. That's really important for us to know. He'd already given them the promised land. But they had to go in and conquer it and take the fruit of the land and bring it back to God, right? There were giants in the land. There was a lot of disturbance, and there were storms in that land, right? But they had to go in and possess the land. And it says in Numbers 13, 17 through 19, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see," underline that word see the land. The word see is the Hebrew word ra'ah, and it means to consider, to discern, to enjoy, have experience, gaze, take heed joyfully, look at that, take heed joyfully, mark, remember that's what I told you, Jesus was saying, mark that place, mark that place, mark that place. And it also means visions. So see the land.
Yes.
Mark that land, mark that place where God wants you to be. I'm marking that land that we're going to be in a bigger facility. Statistics say that if you're in a place in a church and you have 70 chairs and you're filling up about 42 of those chairs, 60%, you're not going to grow anymore. That's just a statistic. So that means when we get to that place, and we're almost there right now, if everybody came, we would be at that place. So that means when you, it's called a fishbowl dichotomy. When you go into a bigger place, it will fill up. People are like this. They don't like to be scrunched in. Look at everybody. You're kind of like a chair or two beside, you know. You know, right? Maybe you didn't get a Tic Tac this morning. You have a Tic Tac. Maybe they didn't have a Tic Tac. Always carry a Tic Tac. That was what I was taught in Bible school. Because you don't want people to go over in the spirit while you're talking to them. Ugh. You get it? Go over in halitosis, right? Okay, so they said, see the land. Somebody told me last week that I was so funny. It's a funny guy. But you know what? Humor is a very important thing to learn and to listen. You You've got to have stories. Jesus was a master storyteller, and he took very practical things, and he made it into parables that we can understand. So that's what I'm trying to do now. And it says, they saw the land, and what it is, and the people, look, the people that dwelt there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in. You know, some of us in here have a lot of giants that are keeping you from your mark. Some of you don't have many, but some, me, I have a lot of giants. The world calls it baggage. The world calls it, you're born into dysfunctionality. You didn't have this, you didn't have that. You weren't a perfect cookie cutter, you know, Mayberry RFD, Brady Bunch. But, you know, when you talk about those, they were dysfunctional families right there. But anyway, you know, you were not a cookie cutter. Raise your hand if you just had a perfect childhood. Perfect in all ways. All of us have obstacles or giants or storms, and some of those giants were one-time baby giants, and they were fed over the years, so they grow. So how do they grow? A lot of times giants grow because we talk about them a lot. Giants love to be talked about, and they grow and they grow and they grow. You know what they hate? To be ignored. You know what happens when you ignore it? When you don't give a giant credit, they shrink. But when you exalt the name of Jesus, he exalts. God exalts. And that's, David knew that. And the two spies that went in with a good report knew that. It says, see the land and what it is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, mark that in your memory, good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. Let's talk about this. The giants, there were baby giants in the land. There were big giants. You know, mama giant, daddy giant, made baby giants. All right? So there were giants in the land, and some of them lived in tents, which is easy to take down. Tents, you can travel, and you can build a tent, and you can travel with a tent. But strongholds, they are castles. They are fortresses built brick by brick. So we're looking at this, and they had to go into the land and see, take note of what those giants are in. Are they in tents? Can they be taken down easily? Or are they in fortresses? Which you got to know, it's going to take a lot more to knock them down. Now, if you will, allow me to think about it this way, because the Apostle Paul talked a lot about our thought life in the spiritual realm. And think about your thought life as having maybe giants that are reminding you of the past.
That's right.
And some of them, thoughts are just intense. They're easy to tear down. You can just say, no, in the name of Jesus, I tear that tent down. I tear that offense down. I will not be offended. I pull that down right now. I bless, forgive, and release in Jesus' name. And it's destroyed. Right? It comes down. That's tense. But you may have a stronghold that's been built brick by brick over the years since you were a child. Brick by brick. You won't amount to anything. You have this. You have that. You have a bad self-image. You have this and that. Those are things that have been built brick by brick. And they have to be pounded. They have to be pounded with the Word of God. Boom. Boom, boom. I'm a new creature. Old things were passed away. All things have become new. Boom, boom. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I'm the head, not the tail, from above and not beneath. Greater is he that's living in me than he that's in the world. By his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. And you pound in that day and day and day and day. And you can get victory and those castles can come down. Amen. We have to see our promised land. We have to see. Let me ask you, here's a little exercise I want to do this morning, if you'll allow me to. How many of you have dogs? How many of you have cats?
Okay.
Yeah, no way I'm not kidding. Okay, this will be easy then. Some of you don't have dogs or cats. How many have fish? Any animals at all? Okay. Okay, if you have a dog or a cat, right now I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to close your eyes. I'm not going to do anything to you. Close your eyes and think about them. Right now, just think about your cute little... I'm thinking about my cute little Lily. Oh, little brown eyes. That's what I'm thinking about right now. Okay, now open your eyes. How many of you can see your dog? Everybody can see me. You love them.
I can see my cats.
Yeah. Hey, let me preach. Hey, come on. So if you can do that, if you can close your eyes and you can see your pet at home with no problem, you're like, why can't you close your eyes and see yourself healed? Why not? Why can't you close your eyes and see yourself with something better than you have right now?
Amen.
Amen. Now, this isn't New Agey thing or anything. I mean, anything that New Age, they got it from the Word of God. God works with godly imagination and visions. God has a vision for you. He wants you to go to the other side. Go to the other side, because He's in the boat with you. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. The word vision in the Hebrew, it's mental sight. That's what it is. It's mental sight. Write the vision and make it plain. Make it easy. Make it easy. Upon tablets. Write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper. Get out of here. You know, wasp up here. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run. Look at this. That he may run that readeth it. Now to me this means if you write that vision down, that causes you to run towards your vision. Go towards your vision. Go to the other side. Run towards your vision. Oh, but there's storms, there's giants. Keep your eye on the shore. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on your healing. Keep your eye on your prosperity. Keep your eye on your household salvation. Keep your eye on that which you're believing for, because it's right out there. You're going towards it. Amen? Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's going to come to pass. But at the end, it shall speak. When we're in that new building with carpet and our chair, we have all the things that we all need. We just need a building. We have that building that's big enough for us and a big parking lot that's enough for more cars than we need. More cars and a big old kitchen with huge, state-of-the-art, cooking and equipment. And all of our bakers said amen. And oh man, it's just going to be a place on a location where people don't have to, turn left and right around here by the painted mailbox in the corner around there. That's weird. No, we're going to be visible so that everybody knows we're coming out.
Amen.
We're coming out.
Amen.
And it says at the end, it shall speak. Man, when we're there, we're going to speak about it.
That's right.
What God said, he brought to pass. It won't lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What do we do while we're waiting for that? We praise God.
Yes.
Thank him for it.
Amen.
What do you do while you're waiting for your healing to manifest? You praise God.
Amen.
What am I doing while my leg is still hurting? I praise God.
Amen.
I close my eyes and I see my leg heal. I see it heal. Because that's what I did with stage 4 cancer. If God healed stage 4 cancer, he can surely heal a leg.
Amen.
I want to help you this morning. Whatever you're facing, you can get the victory. You can get that vision of it, because Jesus is in your boat.
Amen.
The healer is in your boat. Your orthodontist is in your boat. Your chiropractor is in your boat. Your pathologist is in your boat. Your counselor, your psychiatrist is in your boat.
Amen.
Amen. And he's free.
Amen.
All it requires is all of you.
Yes.
All he wants is all of you. Man, I love Jesus. I want to be so close with him. I want to walk and be so close with him that I just sense his presence all the time.
That's right.
He's a good God.
Amen.
He's in the boat. Holy Spirit, he's in the boat. John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. That's why they don't know about him. Because they can't see him. Because the world says that seeing is believing.
Yes.
But we say believing is seeing.
Yes.
Neither know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be, foretelling of Pentecost, he shall be in you. From the day of Pentecost he came,
yes,
and he filled the church. That's really the start of the Pentecostal church right there. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. Say this, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
The hope of glory.
Hope of
now,
glory.
What does that mean? Christ in you. If Christ is in you, that means the word for you to base your mark on, to base your healing on, to base your prosperity on, to base the household salvation on, is already on the inside of you. Think about that. That word is already on the inside of you. You've heard, by his stripes you were healed. And you've heard it. It's on the inside of you. It's there. Jesus is in the boat with you. He's right there in the boat. Amen.
Amen.
I want to show you something here. It's really interesting. In Mark 4:38, it says, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they what? Say it. Awake. They woke him up, right? They went up to Jesus, who was sleeping so soundly. Because I told you, faith rests. Jesus knew they were, but he was sleeping. And they awake him. And they said unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? Ah! That word awake there in Greek, it literally means to stir up. Write that down. Where have you heard that before? To stir up. To stir up. Well, I read in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul said, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, son Timothy, that you... You can say it with me, two words. Stir up. Hello? Say stir up.
Stir up.
Stir, you're going to get involved in this now. That who stirs up? We do. You do. See, they stirred up Jesus. That's what that word awake means. So take it over here. Stir up the gift of God. See, we have to stir up the word of God.
Yes.
On the inside of us.
Right.
We have to shake that word already on the inside of us. We've got to stir it up. How do you stir it up? How do you stir some chocolate milk that you put powdered chocolate in a glass of cold milk? That sound good to some of you this morning? Good glass of cold milk. Put chocolate powder. Well, what do you got to do? Put a straw in there or a spoon, and what do?
Stir.
Put it in the Vitamix. Stir. Who's preaching here? Stir. I'll give you an opportunity. What do? When you stir, all that, it mixes up, doesn't it?
Yes.
And also, if it goes to the bottom, when you stir it up, it comes to the top. You stir it up, and it comes to the top. That's the way it is with the word in us. A lot of us have the word in us, but it's just down at the bottom of the glass. You have to stir it up. And what is the stir stick? Your tongue. Your tongue is the stir stick. When you say, oh, okay, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. My leg is healed and free of pain. My leg is healed right now. Hallelujah. I can walk without any pain. I can walk. I have no pain. I can sleep at night with no pain because by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I'm stirring the word. I'm stirring up the word. Death and life are the power of my tongue. So I'm stirring up the word.
Amen.
The word Amen. Says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It's there. It's at the bottom of your glass. Put your tongue into use and put it in that glass and begin to stir it up so that it comes to the top. So you say,
yes.
When it looks like your bills are due, and I've practiced doing this for years. Out of your mouth. Don't let those fiery darts stick to your mind when they start saying, oh, you're going under. Oh, you're going to be out of Starkey with a sign. Sometimes I often wonder, those guys look like they're in better shape than I am. But one time, I'll take a little side trail here. One time, I was feeling really good, you know, and I went to this corner, and this man was there, and I said, you know, I'm going to give something to him. So I took out a $20 bill, which is a lot of him. Ooh, hey. He came out the window. I gave it to him. He said, he goes, All right. I said, what are you so excited about? I've met my quota for the day. So he was a businessman. All he needed was $20 a day. I met his quota. But anyway, I'm not saying that that's all, but you got to be careful and be led by the Spirit of who you give to and what you give to. Just a little side rabbit trail right there. So now where was I? Stir up the word. My God, so I say out of my mouth, remember your tongue is your stir stick, I say out of my mouth, my God shall supply all of our needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My bills are paid, my needs are met, we have more than enough. I have more than enough. My cup is full and overflowing. I have more than enough for my family and enough to give to others in need.
Amen.
I am a vessel that I can give to others financially. Praise God. So stir that up. And you have the word that your household shall be saved. Your word is in you. And you have household members that you're praying for.
Yes.
You're praying for. Right? Well, when that thought comes to your mind, they'll never change. They'll never get saved. They'll never come back out of your mouth. You say, thank you, Lord, that you said your word that you and your household shall be saved. Thank you that my household is saved.
Yes.
Praise God. I think of Sharon. I think of people that are, it's happening. People are coming back around because you're stirring the stick with your tongue.
Amen.
You're saying, thank you, Lord, that my household is saved.
Amen.
You're stirring up the gift of God. Jesus is in your boat. You're going over to the other side. You're going to hit that shore. You're going to hit that mark. When the storms of life come, stir up the word. Stir up the word. Stir up the word. You know, I can imagine some of the disciples, they just sat there and went, of course, we're in another storm. My family always goes through storms. Every time I go somewhere, there's a storm. Every time I go to a parking place, there's no place to park. Every time I go to pay a bill, I don't have enough to pay. Oh, I got to get on the phone and talk to somebody about it. Hey, I got a story to tell you. And never fail. Somebody else says, well, I got a better one than that. I got one that can top that. Oh, my arm fell off this morning. You think that's bad? Hey. Both my legs fell off this morning. There's always somebody that's going to one-up you and try to top you. So don't go to the phone, go to the throne.
Amen.
Speak the word only. Speak the word. My God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory. Because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall drink that chocolate milk. Right? They that love it, what does that mean? They that do it, be doers of the word.
Yes.
Do it. Do the word. It will work. The word works. Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, the word works. When we work the word.
Yes.
And we all went, ah. Yeah. You mean we got to do something? Yeah, you got to work the word. Profess the word. Profess the word. I'm professing the word right now. My youth is restored and renewed.
Yes.
All the years of my youth are being restored. All the years the cankerworm destroyed are being renewed.
That's right.
And now, 75 years old, I feel like I'm 25.
Yeah.
I'm not 75. No. But you can. I'm telling you, you don't. When you are increasing in years, that's not the time to sit down. That's not the time to sit in a room by a window in a chair with a comforter and drool. That's not the time. Get up. Do something for God. Be useful. Find somebody and pour yourself into them. Disciple somebody. Tell somebody things that you know that can help
you. Yes, yes.
Help somebody. Right? Just do something for somebody. And finally, we're looking unto Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. As we go to the other side, as you possess the promise on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See that? There's a finishing. Author and finisher of your faith. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is right now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know what? If that's where he's at, that's where you're at. Get that vision. If that's where Jesus is at, the head and the body, that's where you're at. But you have to meditate on that. It won't, Kenneth Hagin used to say, it won't drop down on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You got to meditate on it on a daily basis. If Jesus is there, that's where you are at. When Jesus was quickened, you were quickened. When Jesus was raised up, you were raised up. When Jesus sat down, you sat down.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to focus on.
That's right.
That's where we are in Christ.
Amen.
And finally, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And I want to end with this. Herein is our love made perfect. We do all this because of love. He loved us. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment because, and write these next few words down, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Meditate on that this week. Meditate on it. See Jesus, and you can ask yourself, Jesus, are you sick?
Nope.
Are you sick? Are you paralyzed? Are you suffering? Are you sick? No. No, he's not. Are you poor? Are you just, you know, trying to scrape by? No. He's not. Right? It's like the old story that says, you know, a man, he said, I'm going to heaven, but I'm taking everything with me that's very valuable. So he went up to heaven, he sent up pearly gates with this gold brick, and he put this in his safe deposit box. It had been there. It was his pride and glory. Gold brick! It's worth thousands of dollars. So he went up to the gate, the pearly gates, and Peter met him. And he said, look, I brought the most valuable thing in my life. And Peter looked at him and said, You brought pavement? You brought pavement up here? Because see, it's streets of gold. We have no idea of how the goodness of God and what he's prepared for us.
Yes.
And we can have a little slice of heaven down here on this earth.
We do.
Amen.
Amen.
We can't lose. We're going there. And we can enjoy it while we go.
By
using our faith. There's no losing. He's already won.
Yes.
I've read the back of the book. Yes. And we win.
Yes. Amen.
So have hope. But as you're going in your journey of life across the sea to your promise, let Jesus help you mark that place. And when you're going through storms, stir up the word.
Amen.
Stir up the word.
Amen.
By speaking the word. And the storm will clear, and you'll be on the other side.